Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. Texter says, I have to confess that I've gone on a few blind dates. On more than one occasion, I have come in, seen the guy and left because I didn't like the look of him. I'm awful, I know, but I love myself more than trying to be pleasant to some stranger. You're probably not the only person in the world who's done that. Michelle, who's in Dublin, says she's married 21 years. She can barely remember what it was like to date. Sounds like an awful process these days, though. Well, I think it was probably an awful process at any time. Joanne says, I went on a first date through Tinder and he pulled out his own cutlery from his jacket pocket. His own cutlery. People are so weird. That is very weird. Now, yeah, there's so many answers to that, most of which I couldn't say on air. Mark says, I on a first date with an English lady, I ended up telling her the history of Cromwell in Ireland. Somehow I managed to get the shift and a second date after that, says Mark. Now, if that was, if there was ever a historical pity shift, that's what that was. Anyway, Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal joins us once again. Mairead, good afternoon to you.
I can think of a lot more cheerful historical figures than Cromwell.
I know.
Particularly, was he outlining the, whatever, the different towns that he pillaged and burnt down destroyed?
Well, probably if she was English, she probably had a version of Cromwell that he was a great democratiser and all that kind of stuff. And then Mark told her, he was different when he was over here. And then she felt all riddled with guilt and she had to give him the shift.
Exactly. Well, what was it, to hell or to Connacht? And was it he that said about Connacht, there wasn't a well deep enough to drown a man, or a timber high enough to hang a man, or clay deep enough to bury a man?
Yeah, there's an awful lot ascribed to Cromwell. I'm not sure if he actually necessarily said all those things. Anyway, to start on a down note, figures from the HSE on farmers taking their own lives.
Yeah, it's a report done by the Men's Health Forum in Ireland and the HSE, and it was looking at suicidal behaviour in men, middle-aged men. And, you know, middle age for most people can be pretty tough. But if you add in, you know, different things to it, for instance, if you're middle aged, you know, you may be more inclined to put on a bit of weight. You mightn't be as productive when it comes to in terms of work. And this is not being ageist. But say, for instance, if you're in construction or you're in farming in particular, you know, the toll of work over the years, hard physical work, you know, you're not getting as fast to shut that gate, or you're not able to, you know, maybe lift as much as you used to once upon a time, or, you know, just the physical work is tough going. So if you're not as, you know, if you're not as productive on the farm, you're not making as much money as you need to be making out of it. And then you've got all the stress related to having lesser income. But this report, anyway, they looked at middle-age as a priority group. And then they looked at the kind of identity markers that if you had one or more of them, you know, there was a higher chance of you, you know, dying by suicide. So, you know, you were talking here about, you know, people who are maybe middle-aged and gay or transgender or ex-prisoners or, you know, divorced or separated or farmers or rurally isolated. So there's a whole line of kind of identifiers that you can link with middle age. And this is a group that, you know, it is significant, the level of suicide in the group. So, you know, it, as I said, it's a tough time. You may not be able to work as hard or as long. And, you know, a lot of men in particular in those years, you know, they're paid by hourly rates if they're not farming. If they are, they have to be very productive on the farm. And it's not being able to do this. And men see themselves very much still, particularly farmers, as the providers. And, you know, if they're getting a lot of pressure, you know, kids are in college, they're trying to run the place, they're trying to maybe put something away for a pension, you know, they're not able to do it.
Yeah.
And that means then that pressure is internalised. And on the outside, they still seem very stoic and very strong, and they're silent through adversity. And we all know that, you know, one of the worst things that you can be about, you know, suicidal thoughts and all the rest of it is being silent, is not speaking up. So, and it's not just the kind of the physical thing of, you know, putting on a bit of weight, not being able to get around as fast, not being able to do what you want to do. And this winter, say, from a farming perspective, this has been a horrid winter. We've had winter since last August. You know, farmers that are running out of fodder, livestock should be put out. Like even at home, you know, we have yos lambing and they need to go out. You can't keep them in the shed when they have the lambs like indefinitely. And, you know, the other morning my husband found a perfectly good lamb dead out in the field with his mother looking at it, another little lamb fine. Now, either she lay on it or else it was cold. We don't know what happened to the little lamb, but he was perfect going out. So, you know, you can really get down and out about a thing like that because it's preventable. It can, and if you can't talk about it or you won't talk about it, it's internalised. So that's kind of practical stuff. But say, for instance, you know, people who have, you know, they're into their 60s and they have no one coming home to farm. That can be taken in internally as a failure as well, on, you know, on behalf of the father or the farmer in the family, that, you know, my job isn't attractive enough. None of them wants to take over. None of them wants to come back here to farm. And again, that's silent. It's not spoken about. It's not talked about. The disappointment that that has caused.
It's difficult not to take that personally on some level, well, because you've devoted your life to.
And you've devoted to it. You know, OK, you make an income out of it, but sure, if you sold it, you'd probably be able to buy a house in town and have money left over. So, you know, you're doing it for the love of it, but you're also doing it in the hope that there'll be somebody to follow you into it. And again, that can be a quiet disappointment that isn't spoken about. So, you know, what did the report discovered now, and, you know, it interviewed men and did a lot of case studies. What they discovered is that if people had had some mental health education, they were better able to cope. They were better able to look for support when they felt that they were feeling, you know, feeling down and out. And what the report is potentially recommending is that some sort of mental health training could be incorporated into stuff that already, you know, people with the other identifiers, you know, have. But in the case of the farming community, through their single farm payment, that there would be some sort of a mental health education. Now, again, like what I've spoken about before here is this new organisation that, you know, still people are finding out about, the whole men's sheds movement. There's about 420 men's sheds now right across the country. And actually, you know, the middle age group, now I'm talking about, you know, 55 upwards, are very, very much the predominant age group of the membership. But there's 420 of them. And they're very much based on the principle that if the shed does nothing else except have a cup of tea on in the afternoon or in the morning, whatever day they're open, that's the number one thing they have to do.
Yeah.
Because if you have a cup of tea and you're shoulder to shoulder, particularly with men, you're more inclined to talk. And if you'd have a little building project, whether it's, you know, making, you know, buddy benches for schools or bird boxes or whatever it is, there's a project that you're working shoulder to shoulder with and you're more inclined to talk. And again, certainly from a mental health aspect, you know, the reports from the men's sheds are excellent. And
because I'd say it's a hard sell for some men to say this is for your mental health. They don't want to hear that. There's nothing wrong with my mental health.
But for an organisation to have grown to 420 branches from right across the country, everywhere, and to have their own dedicated facilities in an awful lot of cases, and, you know, their own fully equipped sheds and glasshouses and everything, you know, I certainly can't speak well enough of it. We've had a page in association with the men's sheds now because we've been trying to get the message out to farmers, out to, you know, fellas living alone, where maybe if, you know, they might have gone to the mart once upon a time, they may not be going anymore.
Yeah.
They, you know, go to mass. A lot of people still do. It's still a social event. But there isn't the same kind of support network there. And they're by themselves more often. So these men's sheds are really filling that need. And when you think 420, you divide that out by, you know, 30 counties, it's substantial. You know, I don't know what saturation point is, but, you know, they're certainly getting there in terms of, you know, nobody would have to go far to get to a men's shed. The other thing is, from our own point of view, mind our farming families. There's a helpline for that. It's a dedicated suicide and self-harm phone line, and it's between the IFA and Pieta House. That's who work it. So that number is in the paper. But anyway, it's all in this week's paper, and there'll be more about it. But look, you don't tackle these things by staying silent. You do it by talking about it.
Yeah, indeed. Now, the basic farm payment scheme has now gone online.
Yes.
Is this the first year this has happened?
Yes, this is the first year where 100% has to go online. Now, they've been building up towards it. But, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful, you know, to have a scheme that said you're totally going to go online. But you know what? You're all going to have broadband as well. So you're going to be able to open these complicated forms and put in all this data. And, you know, when you're nearly at the 90 percentile of having it done, the whole thing bloody collapses on you. And there you are with having to start from scratch again because you don't have to save it. And then, Mammy, what was the password? Was it quick ran the duck or whatever, and trying to think and remember the password, and did you use a capital, and then if you put in the password three times it bangs you out of it and you won't get in at all anymore. And the frustration of it and the horror of it and the rest of it. Well, at least the department have recognised what they have voiced it on everybody. To be fair, it's not the department's fault and it's not blaming Europe, but it's Europe has decided that everybody has to put in everything online by this year. So the basic payment scheme is the big thing now, and the department have rode in, and they've rode in with 21 clinics starting next Tuesday, and the first one is in Cavan Crystal Hotel, and they're on twice during the day. Different parts of the counties. They're on from 9 to 12:30 in the morning, 4 to 7:30 in the afternoon. Now, you know, you need to go to these clinics. This isn't going to happen unless you actually are proactive about it, and there's no point crying about it afterwards. The department has a couple of helplines as well, so get on the helplines. And you can have this account, pre-registered ag food account, but it's not essential. But it would speed things up if you had. If you haven't, you're to bring valid photo identification and your PPS number. Now, that's going to be funny to find that around the place. You're going to have, and photo ID will also be required if you have an account but you can't remember your details. And I can tell you half the people will be going in there and they'll have no clue what they're, you know, because you're only using it maybe once a year or twice a year. Yeah. And you won't remember that. Also, farmers have been advised to bring their information packs that they would have got in the post in the last week or so. So to bring that with them, it'll help to roll the model on. So, you know, you're talking maybe, I don't know, 150,000 of these things having to be done. A lot of them will be done at home. A lot of them will be done with the Chagask offices. But these are one-to-one clinics to try and get you going. So starting next Tuesday, running up until the 3rd of May, we've got the full list of them in the journal this week.
All right, OK. In the minute or so we have left, the trendy calf jackets. I really wanted
to talk about this. This is the latest thing for to mind the little baby calves. The bad old weather. And so a couple of years ago, the idea came in from New Zealand about having these little jackets on. So it's like, you know, the greyhound wears, or what kind of, you know, little pedigree pooches have. And but anyway, they've taken off. During the snow, you couldn't get one. You couldn't get them for life or money. The cost between 25 and 35 euro each. And they have to be washed in the washing machine after each calf. And they're absolutely like hot dogs, selling like hot dogs. Now, nobody has copped on to the fact yet that there is a great opportunity for advertising or for sponsorship here. Or for, you know,
or the county colours.
Colours. Or the Paul Costlow version of calf couture. So, like, it's an opportunity waiting, because it's the absolute new thing now that you have these little calf jackets, and can't be got at the moment.
Right, solar. Okay. There's your business idea. You can have that for free. Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal. Thanks a million. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. Gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.